Now that Senate Republican leaders have released their health bill, it is possible to see how it diverges from the House-passed version and from the Affordable Care Act. The Senate proposal will change before it's voted on, that's for sure, but the basic elements are likely to remain. So, because of this, I've invited Wall Street Journal reporter Michelle Hackman to take us through the bill and compare all three plans in an easy-to-understand fashion. Michelle covers health policy for the Wall Street Journal out of Washington, D.C. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the uninsured. What does the ACA do, or the Affordable Care Act, the ACA? What does that do?
Sure. So the Affordable Care Act, a big goal of the Affordable Care Act when it was passed in 2010, was to expand coverage to people who didn't have health insurance. And it did that in two ways. First of all, it created subsidies to help low-income people buy insurance and help lower the cost of their premiums. And the other major way that it was almost even more successful was that it expanded the Medicaid program to people who make slightly above the poverty line and included these people who even make less than the poverty line, people who they're called able-bodied adults who don't have children, who previously weren't eligible and suddenly were able to get coverage under the law.
So it was a much wider umbrella to try to include those who were uninsured, because the big deal was that there were so many millions of people in America that were uninsured, so this bill went to cover them. So what did the House bill do?
Right. So the House bill ended up moving the needle sort of in the other direction. One of the major things the House bill does is it rolls back that Medicaid expansion. It cuts off the higher amounts of federal money that goes to states to help insure these people. And it actually puts Medicaid for the first time on a budget. So right now, Medicaid funding is open-ended, and the House bill would end that. The Congressional Budget Office, which is responsible for estimating the cost and effects on coverage for major bills, said that that Medicaid provision would cause at least 14 million people to lose their coverage. Now, the House bill also would restructure tax credits and do a couple other things.
I know that ACA raised taxes on some taxpayers. Let's talk about taxes. What did the ACA do with regard to that?
Sure. So the ACA imposed about 9 new taxes. Some of those were on different health industries. There's a tax on health insurance. There's a tax you might have heard of called the Cadillac tax. That's a tax on really, really rich, expensive plans that would tax some employer health benefits. There's a medical device tax that the medical device industry really hates. And then there's a set of other taxes that actually just tax very wealthy people, typically individuals who make more than $200,000. And that money goes to a couple things. It goes to beefing up the Medicare coffers, but it also helps beef up these subsidies that help low-income people buy health insurance.
So it's some of the offset. The taxes are an offset to some of the expenses or the costs for providing these services. So what did the House bill do to that?
Well, the House bill basically reverses exactly what the ACA did. Whereas the ACA tried to raise money through taxes to help more people buy health insurance, the House bill gets rid of all of these taxes, with exception for the Cadillac tax, which it delays. And it does that in exchange for cutting down the generosity of some of these subsidies and really, really cutting down the Medicaid program.
All right. So it seems to me that the House is saying there's too many benefits. Those benefits are being funded by the higher taxes. So we're going to cut back on the taxes. So we're going to cut back on the benefits. Does the Senate bill do something similar?
Yes, for the most part, yes. And I think the thing I would add to that is that Republicans really see these taxes as hurting the economy and particularly hurting the healthcare industry. And so they would argue that these taxes have actually been passed on to people in how much they pay for healthcare. And so that has actually raised costs, and getting rid of them will lower the cost of premiums and help more people buy insurance. So there is a flip side to this coin.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I know that there's a 3.8% tax on capital gains. So if anybody's selling a business, they have to pay an extra 3.8%, and that can amount to quite a bit of money. But the Senate bill is basically the same when it comes to the House bill and trying to cut back on the taxes and reduce benefits?
Essentially the same, yes. And right now, senators are actually talking about whether they should delay repealing some of those taxes or actually keeping them altogether. And they're particularly looking at those taxes on investment income that really only affect really high earners. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what about insurance rules? What does the ACA do with regards to most health insurance plans?
Sure. So the ACA came up with this whole new set of regulations, you know, that were framed as consumer protections. They created the popular provision that let young people stay on their parents' plans until age 26.
Right.
They also, for the first time, said, insurance companies, you cannot deny a person just for having a pre-existing condition. You also can't charge them astronomically high premiums. And it did a few more things. It created this suite of what are called essential health benefits, where it said health plans need to cover these 10 areas, no exceptions.
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, the House bill does what then with regards to those 10 required benefits?
Right. So because of sort of the complex budget rules that Congress is using, they would like to repeal some of those protections, but can't. And so the House bill creates this waiver system where they tell states, you can consider waiving some of these essential health benefits. You can tell plans, you're not required to cover maternity coverage, or you're not required to cover substance use disorders. And it also allows some states to consider waiving the provision that would prevent insurance companies from charging people with pre-existing conditions more. Now, in exchange, it creates some money to help states pay for those people with pre-existing conditions who might be facing higher premiums.
Mm-hmm. I know one of the complaints from the Republicans was that the insurance companies weren't allowed to price their policies in an economic fashion because young people don't use their policies that much and older people do, so they need to charge enough to the older people in order to cover their excess costs. They're trying to bring that back in, but it has the added effect of actually raising the cost of healthcare insurance for older people.
Right, you just nailed it. So Republicans say the big problem with the Affordable Care Act is that it raised costs so much that young, healthy people who feel like they don't really need health insurance, they're healthy, they see a doctor maybe once a year, they're not willing to pay those larger costs that have really gone up by double digits in a lot of cases. And so one of the many ways that Republicans want to try to lure these people back into the market is by allowing insurance companies to charge them less. So that the House bill and the Senate bill would allow insurance companies to charge their oldest customers up to five times more than their youngest ones. And you can imagine that would lower costs for young people.
Yeah.
The flip side is that it would raise costs for older people.
Do you think that the media is giving a fair shake to this debate? Because I see these reports, these headlines about, you know, the millions of people that are going to be thrown off, you know, the healthcare system. And I'm sure the CBO is giving some kind of accurate information. But is there more behind that kind of a headline that we're missing?
On the coverage numbers?
Yeah, on the coverage numbers, for example.
Yeah, I would say that there's really no disputing the fact that some people would lose coverage under this bill, especially because of the way that it cuts the Medicaid program. You know, at some point when you lose so much money from a program, there's no way to balance the records other than making some people ineligible. But I would say that, you know, Republicans argue that a lot of these people who have health coverage right now, first of all, are only buying it because the Affordable Care Act is forcing them to. You know, if they don't buy the insurance, then they're charged this penalty. They also say, you know, these people have health insurance, sure, but their deductibles are often so high, often, you know, in the thousands of dollars, that it feels like they don't have insurance, even though they technically do under the CBO. Mm. And so, of course, there are valid arguments on both sides.
So I realize that as of this airing, the Senate has gone back in and they're still trying to rework the bill because I think they were shocked at the political backlash with hearing that 23 million people were going to be thrown off the insurance rolls. How do you think this is going to play out?
Well, the trouble with trying to rework the Senate bill to win back support is that, you know, senators are really opposing the bill from both sides. There are conservatives that say it doesn't do enough to let insurance companies price their own, you know, price their own products and offer cheaper products. There are more moderate senators who are saying it really cuts the Medicaid program too much and we can't stand behind that. And so right now, the things that we've heard are that there are small fixes under consideration. Senate Leader Mitch McConnell is considering adding a pot of dedicated funding for opioid treatment. Mm-hmm. And that is really something to try to lure some of those more moderate senators who are hesitant about the Medicaid program because it brought insurance to a lot of people in their states who have opioid use disorders. At the same time, they're looking at expanding the role of health savings accounts. So these are tax-free accounts where you can put your money in. And right now, they're not eligible to be used to help pay for your health insurance premiums. And senators want to change that.
Okay. My guest, Michelle Hackman, covers health policy for the Wall Street Journal out of Washington, D.C. We're trying to take a very complicated subject and sift it down to a few talking points. I hope we've helped. Thank you so much for joining us, Michelle.
Thank you.
To hear more about this conversation and to find out more about the topic of healthcare, don't forget to join us at stevepomerantz.com.